Hello, this is Jamie Peterson with the Herald and Review for Wednesday, January 15th, 2020. On today's front page, the headline, Nobility in Service. Buffett donates $2.3 million for Civic Institute in Dawson's name, by Valerie Wells. When Howard Buffett told former Sheriff Jerry Dawson that he wanted to name a new Civic Leadership Institute after him, Dawson demurred at first. "He hung up on me," Buffett quipped at the announcement of the new venture on Tuesday at the Children's Museum of Illinois, though he added that part was embellishment. However, Dawson is a humble man and didn't want to agree, but Buffett talked him into it. "I'm not going to say no to a man like Howard Buffett," Dawson said. Buffett is the son of investor Warren Buffett, CEO of the holding company Berkshire Hathaway. The company's newspaper division, since June 2018, has been managed by Lee Enterprises, Incorporated, the parent company of the Herald and Review. The Jerry J. Dawson Civic Leadership Institute will provide Decatur Public School students a program to raise awareness and encourage careers in public service, law enforcement, nursing, paramedic, firefighting, government service, and the law. The Howard G. Buffett Foundation has given Decatur Schools a $2.3 million grant to support the program for 8 years and a $400,000 scholarship fund, which will be administered by the DPS Foundation so Decatur students can go to Richland Community College to begin preparing for those careers. "There used to be a nobility in service," said Brian Byers of Newhoff Media. He added that he hopes the Institute will teach students in high school that there still is nobility in service and encourage them to pursue it. Superintendent Paul Frigo, who started his career as a law enforcement officer before switching to education, said the Institute and the ideals behind it are close to his heart. "The Institute is an incredible opportunity for kids in a lot of ways," said Josh Peters, Director of Curriculum and Instruction Secondary. "For kids who want to explore a career path that is in the public service arena, we've got all of those incredible career path opportunities at Richland and scholarships to support that. But we also have all of our internships and all of those programs that students have available to start exploring them. Preparations and preliminary work will begin almost immediately," Peter said, "and the Civic Leadership Institute will kick off fully in August. Like the Duane O. Andreas Ag Academy, students will be able to take classes in civic leadership and get hands-on experience too, with opportunities inside and outside of school. For students who don't plan on a career in public service," Peter said, "classes and activities will be offered to help them understand those careers, their importance, and why people choose them. Every student will eventually have some contact with an elected official, a paramedic, or nurse, or law enforcement officer. Knowing where that person's coming from will be good for them and for the community," Peter said. Dawson said that when he was a law enforcement officer, he was assigned to transport juvenile offenders to other communities when Decatur's facility closed. During those rides, he got to know the young people and some of what caused them to go wrong. "They can be saved," he said. "If we can turn around attitudes and get them to look at these as viable career options, it's not a job, it's a career." Buffett is also anxious to show young people that staying in Decatur is possible. They can have fulfilling careers and a good life here. He said he hopes the program is so successful that DPS Foundation will contact him and ask for more scholarship money. "There's a lot of hate, viciousness, and frustration in the world today," Buffett said. "We need young people to understand there are also great opportunities." Also on the front page, getting accurate count to be true team effort. Macon County, Decatur leaders continue to work on crucial count details for the U.S. Census, by Annalisa Trofumuk. A committee of county and city leaders met Tuesday to continue laying the groundwork for getting the most accurate population count possible during the upcoming U.S. Census. "We are just getting started, and we have some great resources at our disposal, so we can try to get as accurate a count as possible," said Tim Dudley, the city's development and revitalization specialist. "Failing to do so carries a heavy price, dramatically impacting funding for services such as food stamps, school lunch programs, some Medicaid programs, highway construction projects, and other programs. In addition to playing a role in how $675 billion in federal funding is distributed, the outcome of the 2020 census will determine which states gain or lose congressional seats. Macon County has 105,801 residents, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, and had 110,768 in the 2010 census. Decatur has 72,174, down from 76,122 it had in 2010. Officials want to educate the public, so they are encouraged to participate in the population count. Some of those at Tuesday's meeting at the Decatur Civic Center included Miranda Rothrock, Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce President, Tanya Andrix, Executive Director of Crossing Healthcare, Paula Campbell, Associate Director of Marketplace Activities for the Illinois Primary Healthcare Association, and Cindy Bertalieben, Baby Talk Executive Director. The committee will consider a marketing plan that will include several measures such as advertising on billboards, public transportation, and in high-traffic community spaces such as the Decatur Public Library. The Census Bureau predicts a 60.5% response rate nationwide. The Bureau created a metric that estimates the proportion of households that will not respond on their own census tract, which are called a low response score. In Macon County, 10.3% of the population lives in a hard-to-count area, and the predicted no response rate is 17.8%. The best approach is for us to focus on demographics that are low-count target areas, said Steve Bevel, a U.S. Census Partnership Specialist. The Decatur and Macon County Census Committee will also consider designating specific areas or hard-to-reach populations. Andrix said Crossing has a relationship with the Latino community and could engage with them in multiple ways. We can very easily reach out to the Latino community, Andrix said. One example she offered was reaching Latino households through texts in Spanish. Decatur City officials in 2019 annexed roughly 200 properties in preparation for the census. But at a recent council meeting, City Manager Scott Wrighton said the city would have to do more than annex properties to get a higher population count. The city recently received a $25,000 Illinois Primary Healthcare Association grant to help ensure an accurate count. The funding will be used in addition to $15,000 the city included in this year's budget for census efforts. We specifically reached out to those organizations that have a special connection with hard-to-reach areas in the city and county, and we are still reaching out. This is going to be a true team effort, Kinseth said. The committee will meet again in the coming weeks to discuss further plans. Also on today's front page, a story from the Decatur Schools by Annalisa Trofimik. Committee offers board new names for schools. A school district committee has taken the next step in renaming five buildings as part of a reorganization. The Board of Education is set to approve the changes later this month. The district naming committee, during a board meeting Tuesday, presented new names for schools that will merge as part of the BOLD facilities plan, which is consolidating schools from 22 to 17. Board President Beth Nolan said the committee has been working on new names for French Academy, Dennis Lab, Garfield Montessori, Enterprise and William Harris Schools. The naming committee was made up of 11 district and community leaders. We wanted to make sure that, especially in buildings where mergers were taking place, that there was equal representation of those schools, Nolan said. Under the plan discussed Tuesday, proposed name changes are French Academy to American Dreamers STEM Academy, Dennis Lab School to Mosaic Campus, current Dennis Facility, and Kaleidoscope Campus, current French Building. Garfield's and Enterprise's Montessori programs will become Montessori Academy for Peace. Harris Elementary to William Harris Learning Academy. The committee also considered changing the name of Hope Academy, but is recommending the name remain as is. Superintendent Paul Fregeau said the process involved parent and student input. There is enough angst about combining schools and moving schools, so if the parents and students can have ownership of that, the school names, right off the bat, that will be very positive for the transition, Fregeau said. French Academy's potential new name was created by a third-grade student. The board will vote on the new names January 28th. Board members also approved, in a unanimous vote, new district boundaries, which hadn't been assessed in over 20 years. District officials said the boundaries were evaluated to eliminate shortcomings in the current system, such as situations in which some students were unable to attend schools in their neighborhoods. We had all of the hard conversations to try to formulate the boundaries, said Fred Bouchard, Assistant Superintendent of Support Services. He said no school has 90% of one demographic. We tried to find balance. A committee of about 20 community members and school officials worked on the proposal throughout 2019, which they presented to the board during a December meeting. The new plan will be implemented in phases. For example, students who live in the new boundaries for Dennis or South Shores but do not currently attend those schools will have the option in August to move or stay in their current schools for another school year. All students will be in their new boundary school by August 2021, district officials said. A map on the district's website shows the new boundaries. Durfee Magnet School will close under the new boundary system, which will go into effect next school year. Dennis Lab students will be divided into two campuses in order to help overcapacity at the facility. Hope Academy will go from a magnet school to a boundary school. Parents and teachers recently met with the Reverend Courtney Carson, Vice President of the School Board, and Assistant Superintendent Jeff Dace for a boundary meeting. Some discussed issues with boundaries, but several attended to discuss problems within Hope Academy. Concerns about the school were also raised during the public comment portion of Tuesday's board meeting. Christina Donnelly, a teacher at Hope, said she has seen multiple staff members involved in incidents where they had to break up acts of violence between students. Just today in my building, in the process of trying to protect one of my students, I found myself in the middle of major violence, Donnelly said. It took five adults to bring the situation to a halt. She said students involved in these situations have for some time been on the list to be put in the alternative education program. Kenzetta Jackson, parent of four Hope students, said the new boundary considerations are not fair to the African American community. The boundaries are secretly segregating students at Hope, Jackson said. You are setting the kids up for failure. In other business, school board members voted to move forward with Because Life Deserves Design and O'Shea Builders Incorporated to seek bidders to complete the addition of two classrooms at South Shore School, another bold facilities plan measure. Roof repairs to Baum and Oak Grove schools were approved as well. The district entered into an $87,300 contract with Top Quality Roofing of Mount Zion to make repairs at Baum. Money for the repairs would come from the district's Health, Life, and Safety Fund. The board also approved a $15,481 contract with WTI Tremco to repair leaks in the roof at Oak Grove. The money would come from the district's Operations and Management Fund. In a related story, Decatur schools to hold off on planned reassignment of specialists to classrooms. A day after announcing that some specialists would be moved to teaching roles to help with an educator shortage, the Decatur School District is backing off the plan. In a statement on its Facebook page Tuesday, the district said it reached the decision after speaking with leaders of the Decatur Education Association, the union that represents teachers. As always, our primary focus is on what's best for our students, the district wrote in the post. We will continue to work with the DEA and our teachers to find solutions to support our schools that have the greatest needs. Previously, Superintendent Paul Forgeau on Monday had said the reassignments would take place January 22nd. They were meant to address a teacher shortage that has left more than 70 unfilled positions in Decatur schools. The plan would have affected 14 employees, moving them to the buildings most in need. Hope Academy, Stephen Decatur Middle School, and Franklin School officials said. The affected employees were instructional specialists who worked through the district mentoring and modeling effective strategies for teachers, reading recovery specialists who provide extra help in reading for individual students, and alternative education staff who work at Harris School. Employees in these categories are typically certified teachers with advanced training. Forgeau has called the measure a last resort and said the district needed to take drastic steps to meet students' needs. On page 2, out of Springfield, Mattoon Effingham awarded housing rehabilitation grants. Mattoon and Effingham are among 13 Illinois communities selected to receive community development block grants to assist low to moderate income homeowners needing safe and sanitary living conditions. The City of Mattoon will receive $497,121, and the City of Effingham will receive $498,139, the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity announced Tuesday. Funding for the Community Development Block Grant Housing Rehabilitation Program is provided by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. State-administered funds are available for communities who do not receive their own block funding grant from HUD. By rehabilitating residential properties, we are not only ensuring our residents can stay in their family home, but also stabilizing neighborhoods and spurring economic development, Governor J.B. Pritzker said in a news release. The grants to the 13 communities total over $6.3 million and are expected to benefit more than 125 homes. And now, page 3, local and state news. Three men arrested in shooting. From Decatur, by Kennedy Nolan. Three men are facing gun charges after police investigated shots fired Monday night at the Moundford Terrace Apartments, 3750 North Woodford Street. Decatur Police Sergeant Chris Copeland said the scene was the same apartment where a 16-year-old boy was shot Saturday night. In that case, the victim has been uncooperative with police efforts to investigate who shot him, Copeland previously said. The teen was shot in the neck. Police were told the wound was not life-threatening. In the incident Monday night, Copeland said, officers in the area arrived at the scene and saw three bullet holes in the window. They knocked on the door of the apartment, and the occupants inside told them to leave. After police gained entry, they conducted a sweep and found three men, ages 18, 19, and 20, with the same last name, inside of the apartment, Copeland said. Officers found two bullet holes that indicated two shots had been fired from outside the apartment, and another bullet hole that indicated one shot had been fired from inside the apartment, Copeland said. An unfired 9mm cartridge was found on the living room floor, Copeland said. Officers obtained a search warrant and later found a handgun and ammunition. The 20-year-old man is facing preliminary charges of a felon in possession of a weapon and unlawful possession of a handgun. He is also facing unlawful possession of ammunition related to the shooting Saturday night. The 18-year-old and 19-year-old men are facing preliminary charges of unlawful possession of a handgun. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. The 18-year-old man is being held on $30,000 bond. The 19-year-old man is being held on $50,000 bond. And the 20-year-old is being held on $100,000 bond. Also on page 3, Macon County dismisses charges. Decatur woman already sentenced in McLean County. A Decatur woman who ran a bad check scheme that netted $8,000 in cash and goods has had charges against her dismissed in Macon County because she just got sentenced to 5 years in prison in McLean County for running a similar fraud. Records show that Wanda Y. Davis, 49, appeared November 18th in McLean County Circuit Court and was sentenced after pleading guilty to writing bad checks. Macon County Circuit Court records reveal she was scheduled for a disposition hearing Monday on bad checks cashed and spent in Decatur and Forsyth. But Assistant State's Attorney Jacqueline Hollis-George asked Judge Thomas Griffith to dismiss the case, citing the sentence passed in McLean County. Commenting on Tuesday, Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott said Davis had received a stiff penalty and had been punished appropriately. If we can get a good enough sentence in one place, there's no sense prosecuting in both, Scott said. A sworn affidavit from Decatur Police about the Macon County case said Davis was arrested August 28th and initially charged with 5 counts of deceptive practices. The affidavit said she conned the Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union by depositing a forged check for $2,950 and then pulling out more than $1,800 in cash. Detective Brad Hall, writing in the affidavit, said she had recruited three other women as accomplices and wrote checks for them to cash at the credit union as well. Between May 21 to 24, they cashed checks for a total value of $3,500. Student charged in struggle with school officer, by Kennedy Nolan. Charges are pending against an 18-year-old Eisenhower High School student who authorities say grabbed the school liaison detective by the throat. According to a sworn affidavit, the officer, who works for the Decatur Police Department but is at the school daily, was called for assistance at 2:25 p.m. to break up a fight between two students. A security guard removed one of the students from the classroom, while the other student remained inside the classroom. The sworn affidavit said the 18-year-old student attempted to leave the classroom and was ordered to remain, prompting the student to yell obscenities at the officer and grab him by the throat. After a struggle, the officer handcuffed the student and escorted her to the office as she screamed, struggled, and pulled away, the court document said. She was transported to the Macon County Jail, arrested, and interviewed. The sworn affidavit said the student told the officer she was sorry she had blacked out while she grabbed him by the throat. She is facing a preliminary felony charge of aggravated battery to an officer and a preliminary misdemeanor charge of resisting obstructing an officer, both of which are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. And moving on to page 5, man charged with identity theft out of Decatur by Tony Reed. Police said a man who targeted stores looking to steal credit cards was arrested after taking one card that was used to run up purchases of $2,000. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said the crime was committed in July, but detectives, tracking Facebook profiles and surveillance footage, found and arrested the 56-year-old man Monday afternoon. He was booked on preliminary charges of aggravated identity theft and burglary. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state attorney's office. The affidavit said the stolen card used to charge the big bill was in a wallet grabbed July 9th from the purse of a 70-year-old female shopper waiting in line to pay at the Kroger in Airport Plaza. She stated she later contacted her Visa card, as it was one of the items contained in her stolen wallet, and learned that unauthorized transactions were conducted at Walgreens for $520 and Walmart for $1,481.64, the affidavit said. Detectives pulled surveillance footage from Kroger and noticed the man, who has a prominent limp, in line behind the woman and standing with another man who is seen to reach into the purse. Both men then walk away, discarding shopping carts with groceries they had been purchasing. The affidavit said a check of more surveillance footage at Walgreens and Walmart showed the credit card transactions were carried out by the man who had been with the 56-year-old suspect in Kroger. It should be noted that detectives during this time frame investigated a similar theft from a purse at Kroger, 3070 North Water Street, and subsequent unauthorized credit card usage, the statement added, saying the man and his partner were involved in that one, too. And it also noted the 56-year-old man had been arrested by the Macon County Sheriff's Office after another similar theft at the Hickory Point Mall. Macon County jail records show the man remained in custody Tuesday night with no bond available. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland said a warrant is out for the arrest of the man police say was his partner in the crimes. Eastern Illinois University Program to Address State Teacher Shortage by Rob Stroud out of Charleston. Eastern Illinois University is slated to offer teacher education courses and support services for a new program that aims to help address a shortage of 1,800 teachers in Illinois. The Illinois-based Golden Apple Foundation has recruited EIU to be one of two higher education partners for the new Accelerators program, set to prepare 50 teacher candidates during the 2020-2021 school year. EIU and Golden Apple officials kicked off the partnership by holding a press conference on Tuesday at the university's Old Main Building. EIU Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs Jay Gittrell said it's an opportunity for the university to partner with Golden Apple and participating regional Office of Education units to meet the needs of school districts, particularly in rural areas during a time of teacher shortages. Blackburn College in Carlinville is the program's other higher education partner. It really is an opportunity to launch new careers for individuals and to launch new opportunities for rural communities, Gittrell said. He added that providing a high-quality education for young students is an important part of promoting economic development and sustainable communities. Gittrell said the Accelerators program would not be possible without a stable state budget and the support of the Illinois legislature, noting that the presence of District 110 Representative Chris Miller, Republican, Oakland, at the press conference. Golden Apple has reported that the General Assembly approved $750,000 in funding for year one of the program in May, and Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the bill. Alan Mather, president of Golden Apple, said they have found during their 32 years of supporting teacher development that educators who are recruited from a community are more likely to return there and serve long term. Consequently, he said, the Accelerators program will try to recruit many of its teacher candidates from communities that are most in need, including in central Illinois. LSC to close Mattoon manufacturing facility. The Chicago-based printing company LSC Communications Incorporated announced Tuesday that its Mattoon plant will be closing by July. It is the largest industrial employer in Coles County. The factory on U.S. Route 45 was previously known as R.R. Donnelly and celebrated a 50th anniversary in 2018. The plant has 750 workers. Company sites in Strasburg, Virginia and Glasgow, Kentucky also are closing as part of a restructuring, the company said. The actions we announced Tuesday represent another step in our proactive efforts to address the significant structural changes in the industry, with many print titles moving to a fully digital platform, decreasing their frequencies, page and or run costs, or closing entirely. Our strategy is to further align our platform with these industry trends, said company executive Thomas J. Quinlan III in a statement. The company did not disclose how many workers are employed at the factory. R.R. Donnelly & Sons Company built the plant on about 195 acres, 3 miles north of Mattoon, at a cost of $16 million in 1967. It was designed to print Family Circle magazine and later handled the printing, binding, and wrapping of books and catalogs. The Mattoon facility had been issuing employee hiring announcements as recently as this week and had been partnering with Lakeland College on a fast-track training program for prospective new employees. Including Tuesday's announcement, LSC reported that it will have closed a total of 8 facilities across various business segments and reduced its workforce by approximately 2,500 employees. Land of Lincoln Legal Aid gets grant from foundation by Kennedy Nolan, out of Decatur. A civil legal aid provider that serves Macon County was among 21 organizations granted a monetary award from the Illinois Equal Justice Foundation. Land of Lincoln Legal Aid received a grant totaling $263,133. The majority of the grant, $213,133, will go toward providing low-income people living in 65 counties with representation on family, housing, and consumer law cases. The remaining $50,000 will be used to serve low-income people in central and southern Illinois by providing legal advice, self-help materials, guidance on how to use the court system, and referrals through a telephone hotline. No one should have to fight a complicated legal battle on their own. These grants help ensure that everyone, regardless of how much money they have, can access the legal protection they deserve, said Joseph Torres, president of the Illinois Equal Justice Foundation. By helping people stay in their homes, escape violent situations, and protect their health and their families, civil legal aid ultimately makes our communities better places to live. The grants were made possible with funding from the State Appropriation for Civil Legal Aid through the Illinois Attorney General's Office. The Illinois Equal Justice Foundation was established by the Illinois Equal Justice Act in 1999. This act established a state appropriation for civil legal aid and supports equal access to the justice system. Facebook message leads to hate crime charge by Kennedy Nolan. A 26-year-old man is facing a preliminary hate crime charge after police say he called a woman racial slurs using Facebook Messenger. Decatur Police Sergeant Chris Copeland said the incident happened after the woman testified at a bond reduction hearing for her husband, who was in prison for a 2018 homicide. A friend of the victim sought out the woman on social media and contacted her on Messenger and used the slurs, Copeland said. Police obtained a search warrant for the Facebook profile, confirmed his identity, and issued an arrest warrant this month, Copeland said. He said the 26-year-old was arrested Monday on a preliminary charge of hate crime, which is subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Bond was set at $7,500. We'll take a short break now and return with a second half hour of the Herald and Review for Wednesday, January 15th, 2020.